Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Coaches Network, bringing the game together.
Hey guys, you're now listening to the Coaches Network podcast, a podcast aimed at anyone who's passionate about athlete, talent, and personal development. My name's Coach Yas, and I'm a UEFA licensed football coach, coach developer, and content creator. I'll be sitting down with a range of guests to discuss their journeys, their life lessons, and how you can make an impact. Enjoy. Right, guys, welcome back to the Coaches Network. Today, I've got a very special guest with me. My name's Coach Yas, and my guest today is JP Nurburn. How are you doing? How are you doing, JP?
Good, man. It's good to be here with you.
Likewise. No, I'm very pleased to have you here, man. Hopefully, you're going to have a fascinating conversation. I'm sure we will. JP, just to kind of get us started, before we get, you know, real into the hot stuff, if you like, would you mind just sharing for the listeners who you are, what you do, and how you got to where you got to in brief?
Yeah, man. I was from the States, born in South Carolina. Basketball was my sport. It was my game that I was kind of into, and was fortunate to play at a high level, you know, Division I basketball in the States. So that was, you know, as a walk-on. And then I ended up coaching in Ireland, and a long story that I won't share today, but I ended up coaching in Ireland for 5-6 years, moved back to the States, kind of been back and forth over, and now I'm back in Ireland here, and it's obviously these last 2 years. So, but I work with teams primarily on culture, and I don't necessarily really work with teams actually. Better, I work with the coaches directly usually, you know, and helping them to support their teams and to develop the culture that they want to build. And so that really requires me working with them on their leadership and helping to troubleshoot different solutions to their problems and their context.
Awesome. So JP, and obviously you talked there about, you know, you work with teams and their culture. Just out of curiosity, what kind of teams you work with? You know, just, is it single sport, multi-sport? Is it corporate world as well? And maybe just give a bit more insight around that.
Yeah. So primarily sports teams, everything from Division One level in the States, Division Two and Three as well, as well as some high level high school programs. Basketball would be probably my number one sport for sure, but I also work with hockey teams, Hockey Academy in Canada. I work with soccer. I've worked with American football. Worked with a coach at University of Minnesota. Worked with other high school and other Division III college football coaches as well, American football that is. So yeah, I've it's a lot of different sports out there, primarily basketball, and I have a few clients as well, CEO of an agricultural company in Canada, as well as a manufacturing company out in Utah. So I've worked with doctors, worked with a surgeon for a year as well too, just on his own leadership and his team. So it's kind of all over the place there, because the principles, the strategies, while they can be applied to everyone different context, you know, there's some common threads there when it comes to team building and culture.
100%. No, I totally agree with you on that. So maybe just to start us off then, you know, maybe talk a little bit about what some of those key principles are, the ones that cross over it to start with, and then maybe we can delve deeper into the sport aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the foundational level is just, first off, how we view others as leaders, you know, and it's just making sure that we're seeing people as people. A lot of times people might even reach out because they want to improve their culture, because they want to fix problems, inconveniences. They want to improve performance so they can get results to validate themselves, you know, and they're on this kind of this path. And if we're really looking for changes and strategies to fix others and to change others, then we're really kind of using others. And so we kind of fall into some what I would call transactional types of leadership. So what we really want to be focused on is first off, how do we see other people? And that's one of the first things I always do. So that's a common thread, you know, and it can be for a college Division I coach that wants to improve their career, wants to have a stable job. It's also true for the doctor, the surgeon, you know, who wants to have a great record, you know. But so we can easily fall into these things where we see people as objects, not as people. And the other thing after that is really, are we investing in ourselves as a leader? And certain things that could be certain habits and disciplines around reading, asking for feedback, to, you know, and creating an environment where people can give us feedback. It could be journaling, meditation, mindfulness, just spending time in solitude and thought, but just making sure that we're living a life that's going to continuously help to kind of keep our cup full so that we can be at our best for other people. And then kind of after that, it's really comes down to kind of we really talk about a systematic way of building culture and influencing your culture. And that comes through three primary phases. One is to establish the standards and relationships. How do you build those connections? Also, how do you empower people are important to them, processes that are going to help deliver the results they want. And then there's a support the culture where you're going to come in there, you're going to agree upon ways that you can, when you start to fall below those lines, you know, to standards start to slip, relationships start to struggle, you know, the storms start to come, that you're going to be not just the accountability piece and come in there, but you're really just going to focus more on solutions. So we try to talk about support before accountability, because so often we don't need to be held accountable. We just need people to come in there and support us to help us, you know, discover new solutions to some of our obstacles and problems. And then lastly, it's about enforcing and reinforcing that culture. The things that are working, we need to reinforce those things. The things that aren't working, or we're dropping below the lines, we need to come in there and make sure we're enforcing those standards in a way that is aligning with our vision and is respectful to the human being.
And I just as you're speaking, a couple of key words just kind of really come to mind as you're going through that. First of all, it's really it's awareness, and that piece that you mentioned earlier about gratitude. Would you mind maybe just sharing a little bit about how important that gratitude piece is? I mean, obviously we are in that context, and the awareness piece. You know, I often say to my players when I'm working with them, it's great to be, you know, successful, if you like. It's great to be able to you know, score goals and whatnot. But when you're faced with a challenge, half the challenge is solved by just understanding what the obstacle is in front of you. And if you're not aware of the context you're in or what the actual problem is, then you're never going to get there. But if you are halfway there, even if we don't have a solution yet, we are halfway there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, I think it's awareness of maybe ourselves and of the things that are potential limiters for us, things that might be holding us back, obstacles that we're facing. It's also awareness for others and trying to help others to develop an awareness of the obstacles, you know, like, and focus on solutions. So, yeah, I mean, I think that type of awareness is really critical if we want to be an advocate, you know, someone that's really supporting the growth of other people. But also really trying to move our own lives forward.
Mm. And just to kind of build on that, then you talk a lot about leadership and, you know, having almost a transformational type leadership there, where it's almost, yeah, it's just like, it is what it says in the name, you know, it helps it to kind of develop it, help it grow maybe, and, you know, evolve it. So what are some of the key things that you think are, you know, factors that or variables to consider when we're now actually stepping into a new environment possibly, and how soon should we kind of maybe look at making any changes or putting our stamp on it, if you like?
Yeah, so if you walk into a new environment, there can be the desire to kind of come in there and correct, to change, to make a stamp, to make a big statement. But I think it first comes down to building relationships. And so the ways to build relationships is start to come in there and be curious. To be curious and ask great questions. Questions like, you know, for the people that are already existing in that culture, what do you enjoy about this place? What's working? You know, what don't you enjoy? What's not working? You know, and what are some suggestions you have for fixing things? If you were in my position, what would you do to change things? And so these type of questions show curiosity about the person, their experience, but also they're empowering questions that help them to make suggestions that can help you troubleshoot solutions. Yeah. And if we can do that, you know, some of those questions are, you know, I've taken from Captain Mike Abershoff, he was a great story. Abershoff took over the USS Benfold in 2001, which was the second or pretty much the worst ship in the US Navy. And within 1 year, he took it to the best ship in the US Navy. And it was off the charts. It had a 20% retention rate before he took it over. By the end, it was 100% retention rate. It's one of the best ships. And then he did it first, the first month. he met with over 358 sailors, and he said, what do you enjoy about this ship? What don't you enjoy? And if you were the captain, what would you change? And he had conversations and built relationships, and he empowered them. The people on the ground, that your players, you know, whoever, the team members in your organization, they have ideas, they have solutions. They may not all be perfect, but they're probably better than what you would come up with yourself having not been there. But when you build the relationships, then you can also to enforce boundaries and standards, and you can raise standards. But so often people want to do that without building the relationship, and you've got to build that relationship first.
Definitely. And, you know, it's interesting you say that, because, you know, in one of my roles, you know, I work as a coach educator, so I kind of support some of the grassroots coaches in, you know, in their early stages of their coach education pathway, if you like. And some of the questions I often ask them, you know, is it's all well and good you being, you know, being the coach and wanting to kind of, I guess, dictate the environment. However, it might not work for your players specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And even beyond that, you know, how often have you been in a situation where you've actually asked your players what works for them, why they're there, what they're hoping to gain from the environment, or even more importantly, have you ever asked your players how they would like to be coached?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love those questions. I think that it's often challenging to ask those questions of players because nobody's ever even asked them.
Mm.
And sometimes when you ask those questions, you'll get like, what? You know, and they don't have necessarily the right answer, but it's really empowering to still ask them, you know, and sometimes you'll get players that will tell the coach, I want you to coach me really hard. I want you to be tough on me, because they actually don't know any better, you know? And so I think sometimes when we're asking those questions, we have to come in there, we have to listen, and we have to understand why is this the answer they're giving me? Why is this what the type of coaching they need? You know, I need you to be hard on me. I need you to be tough on me. Well, why do you need that? Why is it important?
Yeah.
You know, what happens after you finish playing for me? You know, you move on to the next program, or you move on to life. You know, are people going to yell at you? Are they going to scream at you? Are they going to be on your case every second you're not working hard? Is that the type of individual you want to be? Mm. So I think as you move that relationship forward, you start to ask more probing questions that not only help you to learn about that person, curious questions, but help them to discover things about themselves, discover, you know, who they want to be, what they want to achieve, and where they are in that process, where they are in that journey of achieving that. And if there's some things that don't match up, things they need to change. So they're very empowering things.
Yeah.
When you start to ask those curious questions that help them to discover and help them to a greater awareness, that's really, really motivating for them intrinsically.
Yeah, no, 100%. Because, you know, I think the challenge is with a lot of people and not just athletes is sometimes when asked that type of question, we automatically feel like, well, the natural instinct, you know, because of maybe societal factors, in fact, is, are they trying to catch me out here?
Mm.
You know, they're asking me how I want to be coached. Why is he asking me that? Isn't he the coach or isn't she the coach? Why are they asking me, you know, or if it's ever a thing where maybe they've done something positive and you stop and ask them a question, why did you do that? Straight away, because you've asked a question, it's almost, right, what did I do wrong? As opposed to, oh, I did that and just go with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, some people will be really open to the relationship that you want to try to build with them. Other players will be resistant to that relationship, and they will be skeptical of that. And that's going to take time, and it's going to be a little bit more of a walk, you know. And some people are going to want you to be their mentor, their friend, you know, connect with them, help them grow in life. And others are going to be like, just coach me this, just teach me how to kick the ball, just show me how to shoot the bat, you know, the ball, you know, like whatever it is. So there's people going to be at different levels. So I think it's important that we meet people where they're at. I think that's a huge aspect of it.
No, 100%. So kind of, you know, just touching on a word that you used earlier, and I think it's really important here, is culture. So you mind just maybe from your perspective, just describing what you identify culture to be and how we go about setting one, if we can go into some environments where there's a longstanding culture and there's a reluctance to change and adapt and, you know, move with the times, if you like.
Yeah, you know, I've heard it be defined, culture is like how things are done here. I think it's how things are done, why they're done, the way that they're done, you know, what's the driving behind that. It's kind of complex, but the ideal culture that we're really trying to build, at least the one that I'm working with coaches on, we call it transformational culture. And that bottom line is the number one standard of a transformational culture is you can't be a part of that culture and not become a better person. You can't not become better. You're part of this team. You're part of this experience. We all learn. We all grow. The other success factors of a transformational culture is not just growth, but it's a positive, meaningful experience. You know, it's just someone that people enjoy being a part of, regardless of the outcomes. And then the other thing I would say is just really strong relationships. You know, like those are success factors. But when I like to kind of paint the picture of the transformational culture, on my x-axis is the relationships, the strength of your relationships. And on my y-axis is the standards, how high or how low those standards are. And I think when it comes to culture, you can only go so far of pushing the standards and making that intrinsically driven if you don't with limited relationships. So you have to invest in relationships, but relationships only go so far if you're not really raising the standard as well. Like if I'm, you know, coaching you or I'm leading you or, you know, we're even friends, like I'm not really your friend, a good friend, if I don't actually have expectations of you that are, you know, calling you up to be better. You know, if I allow you to be self-destructive, if I allow you to just show up and not work hard on my team, then I'm really not being a good coach. I'm not being, you know, so you have to continuously invest in relationships. And then you have to continuously invest in those standards. As you raise the standards and strengthen relationships, your culture starts to thrive.
Nice. Some great points there. I think, you know, you talked there about that investing in the relationship. So I'm just thinking about some of the challenges that might exist in, you know, in the context of a sports team. And, you know, one of them, especially at the elite level, you're looking at potentially where coaches or managers, you know, head coaches, there's been a change of regime, if you like. You know, someone's been, you know, been moved on and now a new coach has come in and some of the old, you know, some of the players are there or the athletes are there and maybe stuck in their ways a little bit because of the loyalties to the previous manager. You know, what would your advice be to maybe coaches or, you know, people going into those sorts of situations and looking to maybe break down this barrier? Because obviously it's not as simple as going and just have a cookie cutter fit for everyone.
Yeah, I think this comes back to a little bit of our mindset. You know, we talked earlier about mindset, seeing people as people. So you just have to understand where those people are at and see where they're coming from. So you're coming with genuine like curiosity of and you're understanding their situation and why they might think that way and why they might feel that way. Once you've been able to empathize with that, that's really, really helpful in you being able to reframe behavior problems. Mm. So behavior problems, unacceptable behaviors, misbehavior, mistakes, whatever we want to call it. I prefer to call them actually mistakes because, you know, like in sports, we see mistakes. We're supposed to see mistakes as great opportunities to learn from the mistake. That's how you improve your skills. Well, I think it's the same with character. I think when a player fails to work hard, when they fail to have a good attitude, when they fail to be a good teammate, you know, when they're struggling with things within their own character, their own self-control, their own self-discipline, that isn't a problem. It's our problem is the way we look at that. Mm. Our problem is thinking that it's a problem. That is who they are. That's where they are. We all have areas that we can grow. Stop seeing it as a problem. Start seeing it as an opportunity. Okay, now when I start to see it as an opportunity, I'm going to get less upset. I'm not going to take it personal when a player loses their control. I'm not going to take it personal when a player shows up behavior. It's where they are at. But now how can we help them? How can we help them to grow through that experience? And so, you know, the mindset.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Is once again to start moving away from punishment, start moving away from a lot of correction and criticism, and start using more questions to get them to focus on who they want to be? Is that the type of player they want to be? Is that what's going to lead them to success? Okay, no. What is keeping you from making this improvement? What's pulling you back? What is the obstacle? Okay, how can I help you remove that obstacle?
Mm. Yeah, kind of roundabout way goes back to what I was saying around how do they want to be coached? And it's having that, you know, giving them an opportunity to kind of maybe share their clarity and understanding of, yeah, their awareness of the situation they're in, if you like. And obviously from that, you know, maybe, you know, it's important for you then, you know, to get the players or the athletes to understand the way out. Because, you know, quite often I look at myself and I say, like, the way I coach, I'll ask a lot of questions. I try to be as open as possible. I try not to be too directive with them. You know, I almost believe in this idea that they've got the answers if I ask them the right questions. And then eventually we'll get there. And yes, it can be a bit of a long-winded process at times. However, I do find that when we do get there, I don't find myself having to do as much interaction with them beyond that. After that, and after a certain point, it just becomes about refining and polishing things up, rather than actually going to the depth and, you know, focus on specific elements, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of, you know, sometimes even leading them to certain things, you know, and sometimes we do have the solutions, but if we can help them to discover it rather than give it to them, or we can get to them to a place where they say, gosh, I need to make a change, but I need help, you know, that they're asking us the question then, okay, well, what do you think? You know, well, have you tried this? Would this help? You know, whatever it be, you know, as in their struggle, because the culture comes down to behaviors, you know, and those behaviors and the relationships can be really, really helpful in that behavior change, you know, how you improve, how you do things, for sure.
So, JP, and just kind of build on that, then, you know, we talked a little bit about leadership, talked a little bit about culture. How do we ensure that, you know, beyond everything, that, you know, we go into an environment and when we kind of come into contact with people, that, you know, we leave that lasting impact, you know, because obviously, you know, the part of that transformational leadership is about developing people, helping people, you know, have a sense of fulfillment and achievement and growth, if you like. How important is it to kind of ensure that goal of theirs is also in alignment with ours? Because many a time, you know, you see coaches put the team's goals above the players and the feelings and the thoughts and the personal circumstances of the players. But when it comes the other way around, especially at the top and elite level, that can be quite damning in terms of producing results for the manager or the head coach or whoever that may be.
Yeah. Well, I get, what's your question here? I guess, you know,
it's just how do we find the right balance
between putting our own goal, individual goals above,
and the organization's goals and the personal goals of those athletes in our care, if you like.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting because I think from a youth perspective of a developmental model, you know, sometimes you might focus on more the development of each individual than the development of the team. And so I think it kind of just depends on what type of organization you are about and being really super clear about that. You know, I took a job recently in Ireland in the last year coaching a pro basketball team here. And I asked the organization when they were kind of interviewing me for the job, they said, hey, or offering me the job was just what, I asked them, what's most important to you? And they gave me three things. They wanted development of younger players. They wanted the retention and the respect of the older players, or a lot of veterans. They wanted that had given a lot of years to the club. But they also wanted to finish the top four, you know? And I was like, okay, those are three pretty strong goals, you know, developing your younger players, holding on, you know, retaining, respecting those older. But what's the most important? If I have to choose between developing the younger player or honoring, you know, and not, you know, benching this veteran player if they're struggling with their performance, or if I had to focus on being the top four and development, like, you have to know which is one, you know? And so you have to have those guiding principles. And so you may take on the principle of, you know, the team will always come before the individual. And so you will make the decision in what's best interest of the team. And that will be your guiding principle. And you, when you have hard conversations with a player, like, you're not going to get to play today, it's because it's what's been the best interest of the team, you know? And they, then you've been clear from the beginning. But if, you know, so I think it's important from that aspect to just be super clear what your priorities are. I can't tell a coach what's the best way. I mean, the reality is you can be a transformational coach and then coach in the NBA. You can coach in Premiership soccer. You can still be transformational, but still have, but you run a business and you still have to win games. You still got to make money and you got to still got to fill the stadium. Just as you can be transformational on an underage team. Transformational is about whatever that your goals are, is still always seeing and respecting the person and each person. And so you can make decisions about what's best for the team, but still do it in a way that's respectful of the individual.
Mm. No, definitely. And obviously within that, you know, the kind of thing that stands out for me there is, you know, it needs to be committed to one particular goal, because otherwise you're going to spread yourself too thin trying to go in. I think the saying goes, you know, if there's a room with five rabbits in it and you go chasing after all of them, you probably end up with none.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, if you focus on that one rabbit and then stick on that. So I guess, you know, just as we look to kind of maybe wind down a little bit, then what would you say your key tips are and your key, you know, steps are for maybe people to start to consider in the process of identifying initially what their leadership style should look like? Should it be in the way I look at it is almost an organism that evolves and adapts and, you know, amends itself to the habitat or the environment that it's in? Or should it be a bit more of a fixed approach to say, these are my principles and I'm just going to, implement these in a way that might suit the needs of the people within it? Or should there be some other considerations that we need to make?
Well, I think you have to be authentic to yourself. You know, I think there's a level of authenticity, but the authenticity should never be the excuse for certain types of behaviors that would be harmful to others or yourself. You know, we're never true to ourselves if we're hurting other people. So I think we have to be really reflective on coaching. So I think everyone, wherever they are on their coaching journey, we should be taking steps back to reflect on why I coach the way that I do, how it feels to be coached by me, and how do I define success? Those are the four big questions that Joe Ehrman asks in his book, Inside Out Coaching. Why do I coach? Why do I coach the way I do? How does it feel to be coached by me? And how do I define success? You know, so those are four great questions to kind of start to outline philosophy. I would encourage people to see culture building as more like culture creating. It's not less like building a house and more like tending to a garden, in the sense that you take on this garden, there may be a lot of weeds in it. There may not be a lot of weeds. It may be pretty good, but either way, it's about cultivating the good. Even in the worst garden, there's something good there. So go out there and find ways to cultivate the good while weeding out the bad. And you're going to have to do some weeding out in most cultures. There's going to typically be maybe one or two individuals that may not fit your program. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily the more that we can help them to self-select, the better. We're clear about what we are. We're clear about who we're going to be as a team. You empower your team to set that. But then certain people realize, well, I don't want to be a part of the team that, you know, puts team before self, like on every decision, you know. I want to be a part of a club or that's going to allow me to play a lot. Okay, then we're not for you. And that's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be such a negative. You know, if we want to have a special culture, we can't be for everyone. We can try. We can create an opportunity for everyone to meet our standards, but not everyone's going to want to be a part of that because it is special. It's unique. It does things differently. And it's not, and we shouldn't try to be for everyone, you know, but we should try to be as inclusive as possible. So I think at the end of the day, it's a bit about self-reflecting on those four questions can be helpful. And I would also say, to start to gather feedback from players, from parents of players, or from older, you know, players in your club, older players, asking them what it felt to be coached, like to be coached by me, you know, those type of questions.
So just going back to those four questions you had: why do I coach? Why do I coach the way I do? And the other two were?
Yeah. How does it feel to be coached by me?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I define success? You know, and how does it feel to be coached by me? That's a really telling question of how you're coaching. Why do I coach the way I do? Man, that's a question you could wrestle with a long time as well.
No, 100%. And the final one, was it? How do I see success, did you say?
Yeah, how do I define success?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, like I said, you know, in some of the coach education courses that I've run in the past, you know, one of the questions are always, one of the areas that I always kind of cover is this idea of philosophy, understanding of self, if you like. And I often ask, you know, in a similar way, but ask different questions. So I say to the players or the coaches rather, right, in an ideal world, what are the characteristics you'd want to see in the players that you coach? You know, from a holistic perspective, you know, from the technical, tactical stuff, from the physical stuff, from the psychological stuff, from this, you know, from their social skills and things like that. Just list down all the characteristics of the players that you'd want to help develop. What would they look like? And obviously, everyone's going to come up with their own model of that. Right. Okay. Step two. You've now thought about the type of person or the type of player you want to kind of, I don't like to say produce or help develop, rather. What is a coaching like that? Or what does a coaching look like to achieve something like that? And they go through the list of whatever the attributes are, whatever the characteristics, the behaviors that they might have to, you know, for instance, if they want someone who's going to be a bit more open, a bit more independent, if you like. So they're going to have to allow them to give them, you know, be a bit more laid back and give them a bit more autonomy and freedom to work and maybe decide on making decisions and things like that. Then the next question I ask them is, all right, okay, well, what do your players currently look like? So they start listing all the characteristics. Oh, well, they want them to maybe be, you know, excellent passer of the ball, excellent this, all this. They want them to be quick, strong, whatever that might be. But then they look at what they actually are at the moment. Right, brilliant. So you've understood what you're looking for, but you've also now given some context to where they're currently at. Now, hopefully, you've got to see how far apart those two things are potentially. But also, you've now told me the behaviors that you'd expect a coach to be acting out or carrying out in order to achieve those things. So now the next question is, what are you currently doing? Now, I find that from my experience, whenever I've gone through that task with them, they often look at themselves thinking, wow, okay, I don't actually do a lot of the things I said should be happening in order to get to that point. And if they don't realize it at that point, it's later down the line and saying, right, okay, off the back of maybe me observing them deliver a session as an example, right? But you said you're going to do A, B, C in order to get X, Y, Z, but actually you've not done A, B, C, but your players don't look like X, Y, Z. So you tell me where's the breakdown? Is it in the players and their ability to perform an action or achieve an outcome in the way that you potentially, as you said, define success? Or is it a failure in your part to actually carry out the behaviors you've identified that are going to help them get to that point? And for me, it's often that, you know, that piece there, and that we have those conversations, we go back and forth over it, and they get to the point where they're thinking, wow, okay, they become more self-aware. You know, then I challenge with some of the questions I asked before around, you know, have you ever asked your players how they would like to be coached? Have you ever asked them, maybe taken yourself out of the equation for a bit and understood that actually every single player might want a different goal? Every single player might be there for a different reason. So therefore, the approach you have with them, whilst you might want to produce a player like this or develop a player into this particular mold, that might not be in line with what their own individual goal is, if you like.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, I like that activity, similar thread, you know, it's what are the qualities that we want to develop, but also on the other side is, you know, what are the behavior problems that you face as a coach? And then how you are currently addressing those behavior problems? Well, so often the ways that we currently address those problems, those issues, for me, it was yelling, sarcasm, public criticism, you know, lectures, telling them, even praise, offering carrots, rewards type stuff. Well, those behaviors, what do they encourage more of? Do they encourage the development of those qualities that we want? No, typically they encourage more of the same behavior. Yeah. You know, like if a player shows up late, is not taking personal responsibility for himself, just creates more problems from that list typically, because there's the breakdown of relationship and there's not buy-in, and it's always extrinsic, you know? So I think that's great. I think that, you know, I just think the big thing is we as coaches start to identify the things that we need to stop doing, the things that are only encouraging more of those negative behaviors, those issues that we see, and start to really focus on the things that are going to develop the positive qualities that you talked about earlier in that activity that you do with coaches, you know? And I think everyone's at a different place and a different part of their journey. And I think for all of us, we have to figure out where we are, you know, where, and I think sometimes our players are some of the best people to help us identify those things too.
Definitely. Look, JP, I'm just conscious of time as well. Just as we look to kind of wind down, then, you know, if anyone wanted to kind of maybe touch base with you and find a little bit more about what we've been discussing so far this evening, and even beyond some of the work that you do, is there somewhere they can get in touch with you to do that?
Yeah, I mean, you can, all over the world, you can get my book, Calling Up, Discovering Your Journey to Transformational Leadership. It's on Amazon. And get more of my resources, the coaching, come on over to thriveonchallenge.com. That's my website. It's got all the information. I have some online courses, some tools, a lot of free resources there actually as well. And you can learn more about kind of how I help other coaches and, you know, sign up to see if you can't, reserve a spot to work with me in the mentorship program the next year. So.
Awesome. And you're also on Twitter.
Yeah. On Twitter at JP Nerman. Yeah. I hop on there from time to time at JP Nerman is NERBUN.
Awesome. JP, it's been a pleasure speaking with you this evening. I'm sure the listeners will get in touch. But guys, look, get in touch with JP. Let us know how you found the episode today. Hope you really enjoyed it. Until next time, guys, take care.
There you have it, guys. Another episode of the Coaches Network podcast, where our aim is to bring the world of athlete, talent, and personal development together to just one platform. And you can help us with that mission right now by sharing this episode or any of your favorite episodes with everyone that you can think of. You can tag us in those mentions as well on Instagram at the Coaches Network or on Twitter at the Coaches Net. We look forward to hearing from you. Let us know what you thought about today's episode. And until next time, guys, take care.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.